Hello, I'm Bob Larson, host of the nationally syndicated talk show, Talk Back. My concern about Satanism is the result of research conducted to write my book, Satanism, The Seduction of America's Youth. What you're going to see on this video will be revealing, shocking, and for some of you, disturbing. But it's important information you need to know. In 1966, a one-time carnival performer named Anton LaVey shaved his head, donned a hooded black robe, conducted a devil-worshipping black mass, and established the Church of Satan. LaVey's book, The Satanic Bible, which ritualized his religion, has sold more than 500,000 copies. Today, Anton LaVey is a recluse who grants no interviews and makes no public pronouncements. The affairs of the Church of Satan are overseen by two people, his daughter, Zena LaVey, and Mr. Nicholas Schreck, founder of the Werewolf Order of Satanism. Zena LaVey and Nicholas Schreck are the chief spokespersons for the Church of Satan, and they are the two people you will see me confront during this video. Whether or not you believe in a literal devil, you should be concerned about the plans of LaVey and Schreck to establish a satanically ruled society. This interview was not a debate with my countering the viewpoint put forth by the Church of Satan. The purpose of this video was to divulge information regarding the agenda of the Church of Satan, facts that until now have been cloaked in rumor and contradiction. After seeing this video, I'm sure you will be appalled by the evil teachings of Satanism clearly evident in the statements of LaVey and Schreck. You may wish to use parental discretion for younger children during some parts of this video. And now, the first family of Satanism. Let's come back to the beginning now for a minute. Let's go back to 1966 when this whole thing got started. The suggestion is that your father hit on a good gimmick. You're always accusing the church of being hypocritical and using gimmicks, but it seems to me that your father hit on a very good gimmick. And then there was a lot of showmanship involved. I mean, news on altars and
right.
satanic ceremonies.
Right.
The beginning of the church? How sincere?
It was quite sincere. There had to be public attention to pave the way for Satanism to be a recognized and above-board religion as it had never been before. So there had to be public attention. You don't have a movement without moving.
And the archetype of the devil has always been as a showman.
And he
all
always
musicians,
admitted that.
All artists, anyone who has a creative way of attracting attention has always been accused of having diabolical powers.
Now, but what I find interesting is, although many people like yourself might think that he was only doing it as for gimmick's sake and because he was a good showman, you also complain that he won't come and be on your show.
Yeah.
So now, which is it? Would you rather have him be a good showman and come on your show?
Well, why doesn't he come out of the closet?
He's not in a closet. He's living his life happily.
But he is not, I mean, he is fronting an organization.
Listen, he came out of the closet in 1966, so that everybody else could come out of the closet.
But excuse me, but he is not making his views, his doctrines, his beliefs.
His views and doctrines are available in the Bible.
He's not making them open to the objective inquiry of the press, of journalists, of anyone. No, he's not. I mean, you are speaking for him, but he does not put himself on the line to defend what he believes.
He's past that point.
He no longer has the need to speak to the media in that fashion, and certainly the Christian media is a dying force.
And he's living
Wait. The Christian
the
media
Christian
is a dying force?
The Christian media is now going through its last very extravagant death throes.
Where do you get these statistics?
Waggard, all of the evangelists are slowly falling out of favor. And as we move into the satanic century, we're going to see Christianity's last gasp.
Well, now hang on. Excuse me just a minute, Nicholas. Mm-hmm. You make some broad sweeping statements that do not have statistical validation. Now, while it is true that certain televangelists have had a marked drop in their audiences, overall, the growth of religious media in America is exploding. Can you quote me any statistics in regards religious radio stations and religious television stations?
There is much more.
Do you know how fast they are growing in this country?
There's much more religious media than ever. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think
I'm saying, isn't it, that's a sign of the death throes of Christianity. You've given up your ideals, and now you're joining the devil's ranks, which is to entertain people. You are now part of the media, which is something that the fictional character you base your religion on, Jesus Christ, would certainly not have condoned.
Well, now Nicholas, you throw so many, you know, I don't want to interrupt you, I want to be polite, but you throw so many little zingers out that are just factually inaccurate. I do have to call you. You just casually say this fictional character, completely disregard the historicity of Christ. But let's come back to that.
Most historians would.
Well, that's not entirely accurate, sir. Let's get back to where the whole thing started, okay? Let's get some facts straight here. And I'm asking you, Zena, because the press has kicked these things around. Jane Mansfield. Was Jane Mansfield a follower and or a lover of your father?
Yes, she was a member of the Church of Satan. I will not discuss my father's private life because I don't think it's anybody's business, but she was definitely a devout follower of the satanic philosophy.
Well, his private life has been pretty well discussed in a number of notable books on the
subject. Well, that's there for people who wish to.
Okay, well, if you prefer not to, fine, but I'm trying to get some facts here. The curse. The story of the curse that killed Jane Mansfield, mm-hmm. that your father supposedly put on someone else and she happened to be in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Any truth to that?
Well, that's been published in a number of books and papers also. So do you want me to talk about things
I'm just asking. I'm just asking you. I'm asking you. I'm coming straight to
no,
the source
no
here.
Curse
there was no curse. Her. So she was not decapitated because she was in the wrong place at the wrong time because of your father's curse.
I would say she was in the wrong place at the wrong time, obviously.
But your father did not put a curse at her request?
Sam Brody, yes, but not on her.
No, but he did put a curse. And because she happened to be in the car with him when he was killed, she got killed.
Because she ignored Anton LaVey's request that she break communications with Sam Brody, warned her to stay away from her, so she did not do that.
But your father did put a curse
on Sam Brody.
Okay, I'm just trying to get the story straight here. Marilyn Monroe, what was the connection with Marilyn Monroe?
That was an affair that the two of them had when they were both very young and were relatively unknown. It just so happened that both of their lives took off in a direction that, you know, garnered some fame. But at the time that they had this affair, they were both very young, late teens, early 20s.
Sammy Davis Jr., he's been pictured worshiping in one of your father's altars, wearing a pentagram. Mm-hmm. Was he at a time a follower of the church?
At a time, yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there any prominent stars today who are followers openly of the Church of Satan, such as these people were back in the 60s?
There are, and some of them we already know of.
Who?
Of them, well, if you want entertainers, King Diamond is a member of the Church mm-hmm. of Satan. He openly admits that. None of these other heavy metal people are.
Right.
And then there are other actors as well.
Because of
for whom? For example, whom?
Well, because of the recent hysteria we've seen, I'm not going to put their
there are people in every field of endeavor, in architecture, science.
As a matter of fact.
You blame it on hysteria, but in fact, if they're a follower of Satan, should they not be willing to step forward and say so? I mean,
well, that's what we're embarking on now.
Well, what the 90s are going to see is a massive rise of Satanism. People are going to come out of the shadows and reveal themselves as thoroughgoing Satanists. Because what we're seeing now is the death struggle between the Judeo-Christian idea and archetype and the more ancient satanic archetype.
Nicholas, for $100, anybody can join the Church of Satan. That's what the membership form mm-hmm. says. And that's a lifetime membership.
They can join the Church of Satan on that level. However, to become an active member of the Church of Satan requires that you are already doing something to to advocate Satanism. Simply by joining, you do not become a Satanist.
So that's just a quick, easy $100 to pocket.
No, it's...
Well, it is, because, I mean, just what do you get for your $100? A little membership card that says, hi, I'm a Satanist.
No, Satanism is not, like Christianity, a way of gathering sheep together in one place. We feel that the best way to change the world into a satanic arena is by having strong individuals in different areas do their own individual work. So by joining the Church of Satan, you enter into the possibility of going into the higher echelons of the Church of Satan.
But if you join a Christian church, there is some obligatory relationship that you have, some duties and responsibilities to perform.
Well, the Christian
do you
church,
not have any duties? I mean, you pay your $100, you get your card, and that's it?
If that's all you choose to do. Most Satanists, as most Christians, are not fully committed. Most Christians are not fervent Christians.
And you guys got that problem, too.
Everyone has. When you are dealing with human beings, you have the problem of insincerity. How many Christians are truly Christian? I've maybe met five in my entire life.
Well, if they're not truly Christian, then they're not Christians.
So that just becomes a semantic
problem. Can you be a Satanist and not truly be a Satanist?
It's a problem of semantics, as I said. You can say you're a Martian. Well, what does that mean? Satanism is a very broad-based word. To be a member of the Church of Satan is another thing. If I say Bob Larson represents Christianity, therefore does Bob Larson represent Jim Jones and Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart and Charles Manson, other people who have called themselves Christians? So you understand the problem. It's a question of semantics and definition.
Okay, let's talk about the church for a minute, because there's so much that I would know and take for granted, and certainly you would know much more and take for granted, that the average person has no understanding of. It is a church. It takes that moniker. It presumes that position. And when we think of a church, we think of weddings, we think of funerals, we think of ceremonies, of worship, of its views on everything from medical treatment to the future.
Those are all activities that go under the umbrella of the
Church. Let's find out what goes on in the Church of Satan.
Well, one of the main misconceptions is that the Church of Satan is a physical building where black-robed people come to congregate. The Church of Satan is an idea more than a building. It is a large network of people internationally who are committed to the ideas of Satanism. We don't all get together and have bingo games and raffles like Christian churches do to keep everyone feeling like they're part of one big happy family.
I have to jump in on you now. I don't approve of bingo games
and
raffles.
No, I didn't say that you did, but you understand.
I don't think that's truly representational of the legitimate activities of Christianity.
Well, okay then, if you can say that, most of what you are defining as Satanism is not part of what we would define as legitimate Satanism. Mm-hmm. Just as I will give you the benefit mm-hmm. of the doubt and assume you are a legitimate Christian mm-hmm. and Jim Jones was not a legitimate Christian.
You're a legitimate Satanist.
The Church of Satan represents legitimate Satanism.
And some kid who gets a Slayer album and cuts the head off of a cat is not a legitimate Satanist.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere near him any more than you would.
All right. Now, let's talk specifically. Marriage. You perform marriages?
Of course.
What is the satanic marriage ceremony like? What do they do?
They obviously
don't wear white.
They could wear white. There is no dogma or constricting.
And there's no obligation.
Well, what do you do? I mean, like witches have a hand fasting ceremony. Do you have something like that?
Well, we encourage people to decide what they want. If they want a particular type of ceremony, then we'll help them write it. But there is no steadfast, hard and solid.
The proper use of black magic is to find out what will work for you personally and devise a ritual that will fulfill your archetypal desires in a way appropriate to you. A ritual that would work for Bob Larson to get what he wants out of the world isn't going to work for the next person.
Excuse me, you said black magic. You just let that roll off your tongue like,
easily.
A black magic ceremony for Satan.
Black magic, and again, it's a question of semantics, I would define as the use of will and ritual combined to create change in the world without any restraint on what that change might be. No hypocritical pretending that we are appealing to a higher force.
Well, have you been to a satanic marriage? I mean, have the ceremony?
Sure.
What was it like?
I've conducted them.
You married people?
Sure.
In the name of Satan?
If you want to use that terminology,
well,
yes.
What did they
it
do?
Would be
We've all seen Christian wedding ceremonies.
Right. Christian,
so we know the philosophical frame of reference in which that occurs, but we don't know philosophically what's happening.
Well, a satanic marriage is usually they're considerably smaller, more intimate, and because you have a gathering of people who are completely for you, and each one is different from the other. We don't have a set rule as to what the marriage will be.
Unlike the Christian church that has an assembly line idea, a certain dogma is read, two people agree to it, you are now part of the Christian community mm-hmm. in marriage. We feel that each individual should form a union with whoever they wish to.
But of course, Nicholas, that's because in Christianity there is a prior philosophical commitment as to what marriage represents. And so what I'm saying
marriage represents what you want it to represent. We believe each individual is entitled to decide what their life should consist of. There is no bond to any supernatural entity.
And you decide if you even want to be married
marriage
at all.
Marriage is not mandatory, nothing is mandatory.
Would you marry two lesbians?
I personally do not believe that homosexuality is a natural practice any more than you do. And I don't...
Would you marry them if they thought it was and wanted to be? I mean, Anton LaVey, the Satanic Bible, certainly condones it.
They would certainly be able to marry themselves and consider themselves married.
Well, it may sound like an absurd question, but suppose Joe wants to marry his golden retriever. If we're all animals, I mean, can Joe conceivably marry his dog?
Speaking for the Werewolf Order, which is my organization in particular, we do not feel that homosexuality is a healthy or natural or safe or hygienic practice.
But you're contradicting Anton in the Satanic Bible.
No. What I would agree with him in this sense, that I do not prescribe any moral onus against it. What I'm saying is do whatever you want to do, but accept the consequences that come with it.
You're not answering the question about the golden retriever, and I'm
no,
not
No, I don't. I believe bestiality is as repugnant to me as it is to you, but not for moral reasons, but because of natural reasons.
Earlier you said we're all animals. I mean, an animal is an animal.
Well, animals,
so what's the difference?
Yeah, animals don't breed.
A wouldn't mate with a Siamese cat.
Yeah, only humans.
So neither would a human.
Only humans are so neurotic that they break the natural law.
Without getting too intellectual here, you do have some...
Oh yes, I have a strong
differentiation.
Is that something
that in effect you're not willing to call morals, but in effect places you as a human animal on a higher rung of evolution's ladder, giving you certain priorities over what you do to the rest?
No, absolutely not. In fact, I believe that animals should be protected by humans, as it is our duty as the inheritors of the earth to protect the ecology, to protect wildlife. And satanic ecology is forefront on our agenda.
Mm-hmm.
We need to protect the earth that we live on and our natural environment.
Let's talk about a worship service. Okay, you have sexual rituals, compassionate rituals, and destructive rituals.
And many more. Those are three.
Well, those are the three main ones Anton talks about.
In the satanic Bible.
Zena, these are the three put forth in the Satanic Bible. Describe them. Destruction ritual. What is a destruction ritual?
Well, we believe in vengeance. We don't believe in turning the other cheek. You keep turning the other cheek and you run out of cheeks. We feel that if you are wronged in some way, that you take it out with the person responsible, whether that's directly or indirectly, whether that's actually going to the person and addressing the problem or the issue specifically, or whether it's working it out through ritual.
May I ask, before you go on, have you never had an experience in your life, I certainly have, where I felt I was wronged by someone else only as I matured later in life to discover, in fact, that in that circumstance I was the one who was wrong, and it was my own selfish ego that placed upon it the imprimatur of saying I was wrong.
We have.
So that, but what I'm saying is, if you claim the right to get even with anyone at any time, what if you're wrong? What if you do a destruction ritual?
Well, how do you know that you were wrong?
And what's wrong with your selfish ego? I would think your selfish ego is a healthier gauge of reality than some
if
moral system found.
I would think it's very blinding because,
if
in fact,
by instinct,
we're,
how could
again,
that be blinding?
We're getting back to our animal natures. We are beasts, and we decide from gut instinct whether we have been
well,
wronged
think,
or not.
Excuse me, you've never done.
Oh, wait a second.
You've never
Let me
done
give
anything
you an
wrong
example.
And thought you were right?
Let's back up even further. Maybe if what you were experiencing was some youthful ego thing that you think you were wrong, what about infants that are passed from one relative to another and they're fine and they get to one person and they just start screaming and there's something there that's wrong and an infant can sense it? Is that infant reacting wrong? Is that a wrong reaction? Well, I would say that on a much more simplistic level, that is the way we react. If we instinctively feel that something's not right, we have to go by gut intuition.
What if you're wrong? What if you're wrong?
What is wrong and
right?
And in our case, we are making up our reality. We decide what's right and wrong. You are letting the Bible or Jesus Christ or whatever God may be.
Even common sense. I mean, even leaving God out of it to suggest that you can make up your own reality. My goodness, that's what they did in Tiananmen Square. That's what they did in Germany in 1933. I mean,
and that's what they're doing in America.
These are examples of people who created their own reality.
Everyone creates their own reality. The thing is, you speak for a consensus of reality which is acceptable. We speak for one which at this point in history is not acceptable.
Well,
so it's just a question of who manipulates the media, who has the most money to put their reality forth.
Would you pardon me saying that I find a world in which your ability to conjure your own reality as you perceive it to be a very frightening world for people like me? Because, you see, I'm guided by some codified rules that tell me what is right and wrong. In your world, I'm not so sure I would feel very safe.
Well,
you would see that's your
maybe.
Problem. You have in the satanic world of the future, Christian churches will be allowed to continue because they pose no threat to us. We don't need Christianity. Christianity needs us.
Sure.
So we'll let it.
Sure. Tell that to the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto. Why, we're not going to put you in gas ovens. We're not going to kill you. We just want you to wear an armband.
No, I'm not
for
saying
now.
That.
I mean,
I'm
we just want you.
No. I'm not
Hitler,
saying I'm a humanitarian.
Hitler,
don't try to whitewash
Hitler
me.
Hitler created a reality. Was it evil?
Hitler was a masterful black magician. Of course, he created a reality. Was it evil? I'm telling you that I don't believe in good and evil, and nor can anyone decide what is good and evil. It's all based on historical and cultural values. In my point of view, the Christian religion is evil, in quotes,
because it is
negative.
Nicholas, I'm not a Jewish survivor of Buchenwald sitting here with a number tattooed on my arm. Mm-hmm. If I were, well, frankly, I'd be incensed. I'd be outraged at you suggesting.
Well, they are incensed and outraged. They're incensed and outraged.
You're not willing to say Hitler was evil.
Absolutely not, because I'm not going to bow down to your level of good and evil. That's so primitive.
Pardon?
I'm telling the human race.
What purpose would that serve? You want us to give you these lines.
I'm telling you, you have to decide for yourself.
No. I'm asking for Paris.
You want rules.
No, you do.
You want rules.
No, I'm asking you. I'm asking you just a fundamental question, a social colloquy in regards to how human beings treat one another.
100 years ago, Napoleon was considered the devil incarnate, the most evil person who ever lived. Now he's forgotten. Everything changes with cultural tides. Morals change with the weather.
Well,
you can't say something is good or evil. You can only look at human behavior from a realistic perspective.
Well, yes.
If you really want to look at what is evil, The book that you have sitting right there is probably the prescription for
the
more
Bible?
Evil.
The Holy Bible.
Right.
And if you can tell me this is untrue, tell me.
Throughout history.
Exactly.
In the name of
more people have died because of the Christian Church in the past 2,000 years of its dominance.
Was the Spanish Inquisition?
Well,
evil?
Hang on. You got off Hitler here. You sidestepped Hitler.
No, let's talk about
okay.
Hitler.
Let's talk about.
We'll talk about this in a second.
Let's talk about the Bible. Let's talk about Hitler. Let's talk about everything.
I don't want to misquote you. In fairness to you.
Interesting. Why do we focus so much on Hitler?
Why are you so fascinated with sex and Hitler?
I think this is very interesting.
I'm not fascinated with Hitler. No, I'm not.
Because you keep bringing up the Holocaust and the survival.
I'm sorry, but those... Those types of ad hominem arguments really don't make it in a debate, okay? I mean, that's intellectually dishonest, and you're a brilliant man, and even you know that.
What do you want to get
what
at,
I'm asking
what's
you,
the issue of
well,
our debate?
Well, the issue is, and I'm wanting to be fair to you. I'm not wanting to put words in your mouth or misquote you. You're saying, are you then saying that what Hitler did to 6 million Jews cannot be morally quantified and called evil? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely not, nor can any act of any human being or animal be judged good or evil. There is no such thing as good or evil.
Yes, I agree with that, because if you look at every war, no matter whether it was the Third Reich or whether it was the Spanish Inquisition or any war, any movement has always caused bloodshed.
Whoever won the war decided what evil was.
And then the victors wrote history. So you always have to keep that in mind.
If King George had won the American Revolution, George Washington would be remembered as one of the great evil tyrants of all time. History decides what is good and evil.
But now
if Hitler had won?
If Hitler had won, obviously, your school books would say Hitler was good, everything else is evil. It's so relative that why can't the human race step out of this primitive argument of good and evil?
6 million corpses.
What about Stalin and 10 million Polish?
What about the Ukrainians? Sure.
Why is there only one Holocaust, one evil?
What about El Salvador?
There are millions of people dying right now.
Slaughtering of the Ukrainians through famine. A malicious act of evil?
There's no such thing as evil. It was a typical act of a human being. And if you want to look at human history from the day that we came from the primordial swamp that creation began in, what you're calling evil is part of human nature.
That's part of evolution also.
What about the millions of people who were killed in Europe, accused of being witches, children and women burnt at the stake, while crowds of good, pious Christians gathered around and watched them burn for a Sunday celebration.
I will call that evil.
I won't call it evil.
I will call it evil, and I will take a step further to say that it was philosophically the antithesis and totally inconsistent with what the Bible teaches.
Well, maybe the problem
Now, hang on. What Nazism did to the Jews was philosophically consistent with the occult Aryan ideas of Hitler. So what I'm saying is...
Well, that's what you're deciding, because you're a Christian in 1989. The Christian church rulership in the 1600s would think you were a heretic for saying such things. So all I'm telling you is morality is a relative issue, and nobody can decide what is good and evil.
Is murder relative?
Murder is absolutely relative. When I say we, I mean the American government sent our troops to Vietnam to kill people. Was it evil? Were those good murderers? Are there good murderers if they're wearing a soldier's uniform and bad murderers if they're not?
Would you say that to the mother of Sharon Tate?
Yes, I would say that to
you
the
would.
Mother of Sharon Tate. In fact,
Do you want to let Charlie Manson out of prison?
That's a whole other issue.
Do you?
Charles
Do you think
Manson,
he deserves to be let out of prison?
Charles Manson, for one thing, I don't believe is guilty of the crimes he's been accused of. But that's a whole other issue.
You're kidding.
Well, how much do you really know
how much
about
do you know about Charles Manson? How much
about?
Do you know about Hitler?
Well,
how much
well,
do you know
well,
about
now
anything?
Wait a minute. Charlie has pretty well made his philosophy known. I mean, he's spoken clearly and openly.
And there's no denial on his part of his role in the Tate-LaBianca murders, that he sent those people in that house to commit a bloodbath.
Where'd you hear that? I can show you 20 years of quotes.
Are you saying that Charlie Manson is a rational mind? Are you saying this man is not a murderous psychotic? Is that what you're saying?
By your point of view, of course not.
Now, what I find interesting is my father is now suddenly lumped into these ranks, because all around me I hear now that my father is just like Manson and just like Hitler. And now I'm beginning to question.
No, you didn't. Many people
But this
do.
Is a common opinion. And now I'm beginning to question why. Why is my father so much like Manson? And why is he considered so much like Hitler? And why is he considered so much like even Rasputin, who completely turned the Russia upside down? And now I'm beginning to realize that maybe there are two sides to every story, and maybe if you examine the other sides that you don't hear about, you learn something that is a little more illuminating.
Zena, I don't find it terribly surprising that there should be some analogies between your father and people like Rasputin. It seems pretty reasonable to me in terms of the ideology that he set forth. It really is a get yours first, don't look out for the other guy, Machiavellian kind of philosophy.
Well, that's right. But also you were referring to other people in history that I was saying you have to consider both sides of every story.
There's another side to Hitler?
Do you think there's only one side to anything?
Guy killed 6 million people.
And that's all you know. And that's all you have to
know. No, I know much more about Hitler than that. But in terms of determining his moral place in history, I don't have any problem.
Now, we're
in the same
position.
Who determines his moral place? Who determines it? Who has the right to determine what is good and evil?
Well, of course, I would respond from the standpoint of the Christian ethic, but even a humanist sitting in this chair.
I don't like humanists any more than Christians.
You don't like humanists either.
Humanists, you have to understand this once and for all. Christians must know Satanism is not humanism. Humanism is based on Christian ethics and ideas. It just doesn't have Christ. But it has the same appalling ideas about equality, love for everybody, indiscriminate love for all living things. And we oppose those
ideas. Altruism, humanitarianism,
humanism and Christianity are in bed together. They're the same thing.
Well, the humanist might not appreciate that, but I hear where you're coming from.
Of course they wouldn't.
White witch
and as far as I'm concerned, there's Satanism and then there's other people.
Yeah, your father in the satanic rituals really puts out some zingers at the witches who want to be white witches. He says there really is no such thing. A witch is a witch is a witch.
That's right. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. Now there's where I do agree with your father. Yes.
I think you would find that you do agree on a lot of principles with the satanic philosophy if you clearly understood and looked at it. We are saying that the act the act of manipulating and using the will and using ritual to create change is, by any definition, satanic. And anyone who does that is at least an ipso facto Satanist. So these witches that say they're good witches, white witches, nice witches, are as hypocritical as a Christian to me.
Your father also says in the Satanic Witch, quote, of psychics who say, God gave me the gift, these people are playing the devil's game but refusing to use the devil's name.
Well, that's right. Wouldn't you consider any form of divination or faith healing or...
divination is biblically forbidden. I would consider it to be satanic.
So we would say that anything that would fall under that category would be considered satanic. And it's not just us. I mean, this has been throughout history. And predating Christianity, there have always been those who have veered from the mainstream, whatever that mainstream was, who have gone out in the wilderness and built shacks to live in, to be away from the mainstream and live their own lives the way they feel they ought to.
Well, the one thing I can say, you Satanists are certainly more honest than most witches when it comes to acknowledging the authenticity, the reality of what
we
are doing.
As I was saying, you might not like what we have to say, but we are honest. I mean, we don't claim to be anything that we aren't.
Well, speaking of honesty, before we get off Charlie Manson, Do you want to talk about what happened August 8, 1988 in San Francisco?
Well, I wrote a book called The Manson File, and I've interviewed Charles Manson.
I want to talk about the ritual you held in the theater.
Yeah, that was Nicholas coordinated that.
Yeah. And when the movie showed...
Let me explain what happened. The Other Side of Madness, a film that was made in 1970, an exploitation film, was shown. And, of course, as everyone has reported in the national media, the audience cheered during the murder sequence.
Well, this is a bloody murder sequence. I mean, this was when Sharon Tate's body is slit open and her unborn child is removed. And
no, that didn't happen, but that's a fine point. But yes, it was a bloody murder.
The audience cheered.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas, have you been to the Friday the 13th movie?
Unfortunately, but Nicholas, you're just... You're sitting there so calm.
What do you want me to do, cry? What do you want me to do, have remorse and break down in tears?
This is what I find interesting.
What is the proper reaction from a Christian?
You won't say that Hitler is evil. You sit there calmly. You want us...
What do you want? What's the right thing to do from the Christian point of view? Should I moan and whine about it?
Isn't this what you expect?
We're looking at human nature. If you can't accept it, that's your problem. I can.
Murder is always part of human nature.
I don't...
Is it wrong? Is it wrong to murder?
Are you going to change it?
Is it wrong to murder?
Is it wrong to murder? As it says in the Satanic Bible, can you love the blood-splashed jaws that rend you limb from limb? Is that wrong? Can you love and feel...
You haven't answered me.
I am answering you.
Is it wrong to murder?
Depends on the circumstances.
You answer the question. Is it wrong to murder?
What is wrong? Murder is part of life.
We're telling you, we don't believe in good, evil, right, wrong dichotomy. If I come at you and you kill me in self-defense, is it wrong? Should you sacrifice yourself?
Wait a minute.
Murder can't
That's
be
not
any,
murder.
Murder is no more wrong. Well, there, you're deciding.
Murder is no more wrong than what?
You're deciding what murder is.
What is it then? Define everything if you want to debate it clearly.
There always has been
murder.
We've got
6,000 years of human history to define what murder is.
That's right. So how are we
killing
going to
is a part
here?
Of animal behavior. Humans do it
more than others. I don't really believe that I would need to worry about walking down a dark alley and being followed by either of you
with a gun
in your pocket. But what you have just said, articulated to the masses, particularly in a dysfunctional society where people are filled with all types of anger and rage because of past abuses, what you're really doing, I think, is potentially lighting a fuse. I'm not worried that you're going to pull a gun out of your pocket and shoot me in front of these cameas, but I don't know that somebody else might not do that because of what you said. You're not willing to condemn murder.
Let me answer your questions in 3 points. The masses. We have no regard for the masses. Satanism is a religion for the elite. It is a religion for leaders. It's a religion for competent people. It's not a religion for anyone who wants to be a Satanist. We don't say welcome
to the club.
The homeless,
the handicapped, those with multiple sclerosis.
I don't want the homeless, the handicapped.
The people in
Mother
Teresa's home for the dying and the destitute, they need not apply.
I don't want them. You've taken that on your shoulders. That's your job. You're doing a great job with the homeless. You help everyone. We're helping those who help themselves, as it says in your Bible. And you can take the weak.
No, it doesn't say that in the Bible.
You can take the decrepit. You can take people who can't help themselves. We don't want them. It's simple. It's very simple.
The homeless you don't want to shelter?
No, I don't want to shelter people who can't take care of themselves. Why can't they?
You shelter
the hungry, the starving,
you
don't want to
take...
Go ahead, Dina. What were you saying?
That produces more of the same. There has to be some change. If you look at the animal kingdom, how is the animal kingdom able... to survive, there is no such thing as homeless.
Back to social Darwinism again. In the animal kingdom, you preserve what is strong.
Hang on.
You give more food to the stronger animal.
Until humans
you don't feed the weaker ones.
I'm trying to...
There's no welfare in
Nicholas,
the animal
I'm
world.
Nicholas, I'm trying to remain as academically detached as I possibly can.
It's not an academically detached question.
But what you're saying
question.
is so absolutely disgustingly outrageous. Now, just wait a minute. Let me
To me, it's disgustingly outrageous that you would help these weak people who are draining our resources, who are causing so many problems. We could be doing positive things in the world.
Zena, I want to ask
These weaklings are taking away all of our energy and resources. And you've decided to help them. That's disgusting to me.
You've never been to a refugee camp.
Why would I possibly want to go to a refugee camp?
Well, Zena, I've been
You
there.
Have this masochistic love for
She's
weakness.
And what do you think that'll gain you?
Because
you
women have more sensitive natures. I just want to make sure it isn't this firm resolve of this
if
man who's over.
If you're going to get a soft reaction from me because I'm a woman, then you
I'm
won't.
Not. If you were in an Ethiopian famine camp,
what would
you
I
would,
be doing there?
You
Isn't
would
that
not,
the problem of the Ethiopian government, to take care of their own people? Why should we be taking care of them?
No, I'll tell you what it's the problem of. It's the problem of a communist totalitarian ideology in the Mengistu government that put those people in the place.
I
a philosophy,
agree with you there.
Sir,
well,
a philosophy
fine,
of dialectical
fair.
Materialism, a communist me-first philosophy that is not far from what you said.
See,
now, let's get back to the refugee camp.
Okay, now.
You don't. I want to ask Zena. Zena, you don't want to feed starving people. You want them to die. That's what you're telling
no,
me.
No, I like your salesman technique of putting words in people's mouths.
Well, then you speak for yourself.
Did I ever say I want them to die? I'm saying why do they exist in the first
would
place?
Would you feed them?
Why would they be allowed
would
to
Would you
exist?
Raise money? Would you do what you could to collect the resources to feed them?
Would a wolf raise money to collect resources
for the whelps of the land?
Would
monkey
you,
in the tree?
Just yes or no, would you?
I'm using analogies. No, of course I wouldn't. If I did that, wouldn't they become more and more dependent on me and less dependent on themselves?
No, not necessarily.
Well, that hasn't been proven yet.
No, not necessarily.
Well, if you look at the welfare state we have and the people who are on welfare,
what
isn't
are they
it
doing
true
to
that there are generations
their lot?
Of...
Nothing.
There are generations of welfare recipients.
I
it's not like
that.
It's not like just the
No, one's defending welfare.
Well, but it's all
Here's,
the same.
Look,
class.
But we're talking about
you
people. No. We're talking about. We're not talking about either lazy people or incompetent people.
Incompetent people.
No.
Yes, we are.
Sir.
The Ethiopian government is incompetent.
But the people who suffer the starvation.
Why do we have a responsibility to help them unless we believe this nonsense in the Bible?
Because
if we're realists, we don't
human
have
beings
any.
Because they feel pain, because they suffer, because they hurt. There's not the hurt and pain.
That
of
isn't
another
enough. That isn't enough reason.
There's not the hurt and suffering of another human being at all.
If the human being is worthy of my attention, I love people who are worthy of my love. That's very few.
And what you're saying?
People
is
who are strong, I admire them. I'll help them. I won't help people who are weak.
Okay. And what you're saying is we have to take the responsibility of other people's actions upon ourselves when we've done nothing, absolutely nothing, to have that result. We didn't do anything to promote.
Does that matter? They hurt. I mean, they're in pain. Does it matter? Does it matter? They hurt. I mean, you hurt. You call yourself an animal, but you hurt. You cut your finger. You bleed. You trip and fall
we
and
take
break
care
your leg.
Of it. Where's the social agency that helps hurt Satanists? It doesn't exist. We help ourselves, and we encourage the same kind of self-discipline.
Well, you go
and
to the
fortitude.
Same hospital as I can.
And
go
let
to.
Me tell you something. When I go to a hospital, they see I'm dressed in black. They look at what they call occult symbolism, and they mm-hmm. say, "Oh, you're a Satanist." I get treated last. That's because
you've chosen to wear the
and I'm proud of it. I'm not complaining. I'm
and
saying,
well, why don't they
look
say,
at the reality
oh,
of the world.
You're wearing a camel hair blazer. You're a Christian. Why should we?
I would.
I'm not asking
I
for help.
I wouldn't treat you last.
Okay, but I'm telling you that's
treat
the
you
way
last.
The world
standard
is. We don't look for help. Why should we give help to others?
This is Zena. This is your father's book, the Satanic Bible. I mean, this is it. This is the diatribe of the devil that. Has brought together thousands of people in your belief system.
Mm-hmm.
I dip my forefinger in the watery blood of your impotent, mad Redeemer and write over his thorn-torn brow the true prince of evil.
Isn't that poetic?
Do you believe that, Zena?
And aren't you taking it a bit out of context?
I'm reading it.
Oh, okay.
Isn't
that Holy Bible, and I'll read you something, too.
Zena, you know what I'm reading. I mean, you know the book. It's page 30 right here.
By our standard, Jesus is the true prince of evil.
Will you let me read something from my own book?
Well, let me read it first.
Oh,
okay.
And why is that?
You don't want to...
Why can't I choose things to read as you would choose things from your book carefully to read?
Well, because I'm the person conducting the interview right now.
Well, maybe we should interview you.
I gaze into the glassy eye of your fearsome Jehovah.
Right.
I pluck him by the beard. I uplift a broad axe and split open his worm-eaten skull.
Right.
Did you know who wrote that?
You tell me.
Do you know who Ragnar Redbeard is?
Who?
Ragnar Redbeard?
No, yes, Redbeard, yes. He wrote this. Well, your father's re-quoted it here.
Okay.
Whatever the case. Now, this is violent. This is abusive.
Jehovah?
It's insulting, but beyond the insulting part of it, do you not find any reprehensibility in using this kind of language? Mind you, I don't believe that Buddha is God. I don't believe that Muhammad was a prophet. But I would never write something like this about Muhammad or Buddha.
That's because you feel like you have to please everyone.
No, because I would have some feelings of sensibility. I mean, you don't feel that there's any inciting of any violent rage in people in this type of language.
Obviously there is.
Of course
I'm asking Zena, do you?
Of course there is.
Oh, you do believe there is the inciting?
There's the inciting of some realization. I wouldn't say of a violent rage. There's the inciting, what I've heard anyway, that people read that and they say, yes, that's the way I've felt all my life.
All right, I want to go through the 9 satanic statements, and I'm going to ask each of you alternately, if you will, to elaborate on them so that there is no misunderstanding.
It should be pretty self-explanatory. But
Unlike the Christian Bible, the satanic Bible speaks for itself. It requires no scholars to have councils
There's
of
no
Trent
kidding.
To decide what this word meant or
I
that word.
I wouldn't say that the Bible does either, but let's get to the 9 satanic statements, okay? Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. Zena?
Isn't that self-explanatory? What is indulgence? That you have to be good to yourself before you can adequately be good to others? Is that evil? Is that wrong?
Are there any limits on that indulgence?
There's another section in the Satanic Bible that differentiates indulgence from compulsion.
Okay.
And self-destruction.
Would you not, let's suppose that a pedophile's indulgence were the molestation of children, would you place that under this particular heading here of the first satanic statement, if that's his indulgence?
Stated. It's clearly stated in there how we feel about children and animals, and you know it.
I'm asking you.
It says in the satanic Bible that we revere children and animals above all things.
So there are limitations on the indulgence.
Of course. There are limitations imposed by your own self-discipline and fortitude, not because you believe what you read from God. That's a very primitive and silly way to go about living. We live because we know what is right for us.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And to us,
you,
as it says in this...
You've constructed your own individual reality.
And I think it works a hell of a lot better than the Christian one.
Okay. Well, since you talk so much, I'm going to come back to you for 2. Satan represents vital existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams. I think that does need some explanation. What do you mean?
I really don't see how it does need explanation.
What is vital existence?
You don't know what vital existence is?
I'm asking you.
Our life here and now, living for, as I've said, all of the earthly and carnal pleasures. What is a spiritual pipe dream? Looking to some external deity or source for your answers? If something horrible happens to you, you just pass it off and say it's God's will. I'd call that a spiritual pipe dream.
Okay. Nicholas, Satan represents undefiled wisdom instead of hypocritical self-deceit.
Look at the world as it really is. Don't delude yourself into thinking it's a way that it is not by calling upon holy cant and scripture as your guide to life. Let's look at the real world. Look at the human condition as it exists right here and now.
Okay. Number four, Satan represents kindness to those who deserve it instead of love wasted on ingrates. See here?
Well, I already explained that too, insofar as turning the other cheek. Kindness, if you're kind to me, then obviously I will be kind to you. We treat people as they treat us. If someone's going to be rude to us or treat us inappropriately, then they have to expect that in return. We won't waste our kindness on what we would consider ingrates, and that is being treated with disrespect or rudeness.
Number five, Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek. And let me flip over here to page 33 and also quote in companion to that, quote, hate your enemies with a whole heart. If a man smites you on one cheek, smash him on the other. He who turns the other cheek is a cowardly dog.
Doesn't that speak for itself?
Yeah.
What's your point?
What would you do?
I'm just asking you. I'm asking you. These are your beliefs.
Right.
If you're walking down Hollywood Boulevard and you are attacked by a gang of drug dealers for no apparent reason, what would you do? Would you bow down to them
or would you strike them back?
Or would you try to do something to survive?
Well, you see, I don't... You're asking... You want me to answer
that question? No, you asked me hypothetical
questions. I'll be happy to answer the question. Yeah. You see, I most certainly, if my life were endangered by someone who murderously or violently were attacking me... Now, some Christians would differ on this. Some would say, kneel and pray. I'm not one who would kneel and pray. I don't run 5 miles a morning for nothing. I'd run. I'd get out of there as fast as I could or fight for my life. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about vengeance and revenge.
If you wrong me, however you wrong me, I will give you that same wrong back.
But if someone is physically striking you with their fist or hitting you with a steel rod, there is no question in anyone's mind you're being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But in the abstract, and this is what we get back to earlier, it seems that you reserve the right always to determine who is the wronged party by your natural brute instincts.
Yes,
and what I'm saying is that the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful and wicked, and who can know it? And common sense tells us that we all have been mistaken at some point in our lives, assuming that we were the wronged one, when in fact we may have been the person hurting someone else.
The Bible teaches us to hate our own instincts. The Bible is a guidebook to how not to survive.
No.
The hero of the Christian religion is someone who willingly sacrificed themselves. Now, to me, someone who willingly dies on a cross and thinks that's a victory is a neurotic person. I don't worship such a God. So if you want to sacrifice yourself, go ahead. We want to live and survive, and you live by returning a wrong back to the person. It's very simple.
And I think that's the irony, too, of all the accusations of our sacrifices, whether they are children or animals or whatever. The whole concept of sacrifice is a Christian concept. Because we don't believe in any anthropomorphic deity, there's no need to sacrifice anything for anything.
Well, we'll get to that. I'd like to come back to that in a moment if I can, please. And if I forget, you please bring it up, all right? I want to get through these statements here. Number six, Satan represents responsibility to the responsible instead of concern for psychic vampires. Zena?
A psychic vampire is someone who drains you of your vital energy, someone who is constantly looking to you for their support and for their energy. Responsibility to the responsible means if you demonstrate that you have a certain amount of responsibility, you will gain that much more responsibility. Your actions are rewarded by what you achieve or what you acquire, rather than being siphoned off to someone who hasn't deserved them.
You know, Zena, before there was any Nobel Prize for Mother Teresa, and really before most anyone knew who she was, I visited her home for the destitute and dying in Calcutta, and I saw the poor people laying there in the throes of death. I saw her comforting them, touching them, giving them what food and water they needed. Those, by your definition, were psychic vampires, because they could give nothing back.
And you don't think Mother Teresa had some ulterior motive?
No.
That she wanted these people to...
I really don't.
You don't think she wanted them to see her point of view?
No. As a matter of fact,
no,
these people could not. I don't think... As a matter of fact, I...
Because
speaking
most
of,
missions or missionaries want to convert people. They want people to see
save
their,
souls. Isn't that what Christianity
that's
is designed to do?
That's a presumption I think that you people have made, but...
Well,
you're
I think it goes deeper than that.
I think
that.
You've
I
made
think,
that presumption, but I think I've visited more mission compounds. I think I've visited more mission compounds around this world than you have. And I remember being in a Bangladesh refugee camp some years ago during that time of bloody war. And I saw a Salvation Army officer standing by the bedside of a woman who had walked 100 miles just to get there to escape the fighting, and she was dying. He could not speak her language. She had moments to live. And I said to him, you cannot convert her. You know that, don't you? He said, yes, I know that. I said, why are you doing it? He said, because I feel it is necessary to offer her a few moments of tenderness and comfort in the last minutes of her life. He had nothing to gain by it.
Well, let me say she was a psychic vampire by your definition.
Okay.
Underneath the whole Christian theology and the whole organized structure of Christian dogma is what I feel is a masochistic, almost love and wallowing in despair and death. Christians love nothing more than to see suffering so they can go and whine and moan over it and help people and feel how good they are that they're helping people. It's a very morbid religion. You worship a God who's nailed and bleeding to a cross. Everything in the Bible drips with morbidity and death.
Eat his flesh and drink his blood.
And yet you accuse us of being morbid. If you want to be around dying and sick people all the time, then you have every right to, but we are not obliged to help these people.
And shouldn't that be a choice? Shouldn't that be a, I thought this was a free country, shouldn't that be a personal choice from one individual to the next? Certainly there are going to be people who derive pleasure from doing that. And who are you to say that there are going to be people who don't want to do that? Who are you to say that that's wrong?
Maybe it is a greater evil, when all is said and done, to keep millions of people alive who are not ever going to be productive, who are going to drain all of our resources and create a stagnant world.
But to comfort them in the hours of their death, to offer an act of human kindness.
Well,
that's why there's people
for.
Like you. You don't want
you
us
want
there.
You want us to be like that as well?
You go hug them. I don't want
well,
to.
Well, if I were that dying person and you were standing over my body, yes, I would want you to be like that. If you were
just
dying...
Just by being a human being, you don't deserve my love and respect.
Have you never suffered pain?
Of course. And to those I love that suffer pain, I will comfort those who I like, those who I favor. I'm not everybody's friend.
Well, I'm sure you, Zena, heard the story from the Bible of the Good Samaritan. Are you familiar with that story?
Right.
Do you know what it's about?
To argue this point is
it is an important argument.
Your main concern in Christianity is to help the weak. Christianity was designed as a religion for slaves, after all. Historically, if there is any truth to it, the first followers of Christianity were slaves in Judea. Now, is that not true?
No, that is not true.
Who were the first followers of Christianity?
In fact, the first followers of Jesus Christ were not only common working people, but some of the most eminent intellectuals of the day, such as Saul of Tarsus, who was...
Well, Saul of Tarsus is the person who recreated the Christian religion in his own vision and rewrote the scriptures in the first place.
Well, that's hardly historically accurate.
But,
you know, I want to
Christianity.
Christianity will tell us one thing, and another will tell us
Christianity is
well,
fine.
What did they tell you?
Christianity is fine for people who have this great love for weaklings. Well, we don't have it, so why must we be forced to be a part of your love for all mankind?
Well, you certainly must not be forced. Nobody would force you to do anything. I find it difficult
to accept.
You really
want us to put up a fight an argument?
Go help them.
I just wonder how you've been able to psychologically insulate yourself in such a way. I cannot. I mean, I've not always been a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And long before I was a Christian, it was just a matter of of human responsibility to another creature, though I may not have believed them to be a creature of God as I do now.
Mm-hmm.
If they were suffering and they were in pain and they were hurting, I reached out to them.
How much clearer do I have to make it? A strong animal does not spend all of their energy and time on earth helping every weak animal. You help those in your own pack, in your own tribe, those who are like you, and those who are not like you and who are not contributing to you, you do not have a responsibility to.
If you want, on simpler terms, you can say that we are of different species.
Let's get to an issue that Zena raised a little earlier, and it's one that I know is a very sensitive one to you, and that is the issue of the allegations of human sacrifice. Now, I will first of all go on record as being very clear in stating that my understanding, the Church of Satan official ideology, the party line, is that we do not condone, we do not permit, we do not practice or encourage human sacrifice.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What of those people who do read the Satanic Bible, who do hear your father's teachings, and then practice animal and or human sacrifice in his name?
Just because you read a book doesn't make you that thing.
How many people have read the Holy Bible, misinterpreted it, and acted on it?
Do you know what John Wayne Gacy said to all of his victims?
He read the 23rd Psalm. Should we now say that John Wayne Gacy is a Christian murderer? It's a foolish, sweeping generalization.
Okay.
Anyone can read a book. Mark David Chapman, who killed John Lennon, read Catcher in the Rye. Should we ban Catcher in the Rye? Leopold and Loeb wrote Nietzsche. Let's ban Nietzsche. Where do you stop?
I think there is a serious issue in terms of artistic freedom of expression that you've raised. I also think one has to determine whether or not inherent in the language expressed, the deeds that result from it are philosophically consistent with
there
it.
There are far more violent things written than the Satanic Bible. So you can't tell me that that was written in such a way to promote violence.
Well, I'm not saying that it was. I'm just saying it lends itself by the nature of the language used. Well, let's read it. Let's read it. Okay.
Let me quote something. Jesus said, I come not with peace but with a sword. Now, if I'm a Christian and I say, well, I have a sword, I'm going to go kill non-Christians. It's a matter of interpretation. I would say...
No, that is absolutely philosophically inconsistent with the larger worldview of the teachings of Christ.
It is with Satanism.
Why
blame the acts of a few nincompoops on a book?
We'll read from this book if you'd like, but let's read this book, all right?
Because this one's more interesting.
Mad dogs are destroyed. Okay? The fact remains, given the opportunity, they would destroy you. Therefore, you have every right to symbolically destroy them. And if your curse provokes their actual annihilation,
Rejoice
that you have been instrumental in ridding the world of a pest. He is made to be trampled underfoot.
You love quoting that. I've heard you say that before.
Have you?
Yeah, you really say it with gusto.
You could be a really good Satanist.
You never know who's listening to you when you're on the radio. Well, but Zena...
It was just that little snippet that someone played for me.
Zena, you have every right to symbolically destroy them. I'm a writer and a journalist. I know the responsibilities of language. If your curse provokes their actual annihilation, in other words, you're only doing this symbolically, but if in doing this curse, you know, putting the pins in the voodoo doll or whatever, if in fact they actually do die, rejoice.
Of course. Why is that inconsistent with our philosophy?
I'm asking you, Zena. Your father wrote this book.
Right. So what
if the person actually dies as the result of the curse you put on them, rejoice. I'm trying to give you the opportunity. If there's an out here and you don't mean that, fine, say so.
Of course we mean that. What do you
rejoice.
Want me to say? Oh, no, he didn't mean to write that. Of course. What do you think we would use a destruction ritual for?
It's to destroy,
if your wife
obviously.
Is raped and murdered and you don't know who did it and you want to throw a random curse at whoever it was that did it, and if it works, shouldn't you be happy?
Or should you mourn the rapist, which I guess Christians mourn the people who kill them too? Because
what is
Christians,
it? I don't know. What
response do you want from us?
Don't you think
the question
that a destruction
of response
ritual,
that I want for you? I'm just
you,
trying to.
I think you seem to have this idea that we toss around these destruction rituals right and left. We do them every Friday night. With
at
no
random.
Regard,
we just go through the phone book and
yeah,
pick
we pick people out, no regard for who they are. Don't you think there's a reason why we have that?
Sure, you feel that you've been wronged and have a right to get revenge.
And explain to me why that is wrong. Explain to me if it's
well,
something that's so blatantly
from,
obvious.
From the explanation is that when we allow every individual to become the arbiter of his own actions, the rule of thumb of his own conduct, and the determinate factor as to whether or not he is the wronger or the wrongee, then we have millions of individuals running around choosing their own courses of action.
You'll never have that.
In a society, we have a lot of very hurt, angry, dysfunctional, psychotic people who then in turn use this as an excuse for reprehensible action.
Granted.
And they use Geraldo Rivera, too, as an excuse to kill their mother, because Geraldo Rivera
brought
Satanism.
A psychotic could look at TV Guide and find a motive for murder in it. It's really a moot point. You can read any book in the world and find an interpretation that you feel is valid to it.
Music. This is your album, Nicholas. It's mm-hmm. called Radio Werewolf, The Fiery Summons. You're pretty good at marketing yourself.
That's the devil's play. Illusion and showmanship.
You mean the devil is alive and well in Madison Avenue?
Of course. Advertising
is
the devil's trade.
I think you and I agree with that. You're a self-described satanic musician. You've heard his music, Zena. What does it sound like? You tell me.
It's more along the lines of classical music. It would be the equivalent to, it is satanic gospel, I guess you could say. It would be the equivalent of what you have.
Except the word gospel means good news in this case.
Good
is bad
news to
good
us.
News. Good news.
Bad news for you.
What does the music do to you when you listen to his music? How does it affect you in a certain way? Is there something about the mood, the ambiance of this? What does it do to you?
Well, the music that, and I'm beginning to work with Nicholas on his music, we make music for a purpose. It's not just background music, or it's not just, you know, fluffy, light stuff.
This is not elevator satanic music.
It's ritualistic music. It is music that by even the act of listening to it, you are participating in a satanic ritual.
By listening to, so if I put this on and listen to it, I'm participating. But I'm just, you're a listener.
Because
I'm asking you, how does it make you feel?
It's very stirring. It's very emotionally charged. You can't listen to this music and say you don't feel something, because you do. I'm sure you would probably feel either hate or fear or rage or something.
I don't know. Maybe he's a great musician.
I just think the guy's
very talented.
Right. But I would say that someone who would listen to it would probably feel very similarly to how one might feel if they're listening to classical music that is bombastic
Here's a song called Incubus, which is about sexual cohabitation with demons, a human being cohabiting with a spirit being.
Right. That's what it is. That's correct.
True.
So, how does that make you feel?
Well, this is another form of
this is a woman cohabiting with a demon.
Right. There are succubuses, too, which
does that make you want to do it, or what?
I'm
asking you. He says it is ritual music that draws you into its intent.
I'm
asking a point-blank question.
That
don't
particular
pass it
song
on.
Is
does
designed...
Does it make you want to do that, or what does it do? He's named it Incubus. What does it do?
It's very stimulating, of course.
It's designed to sexually stimulate. Of course.
Prepare one for a cohabitation with a demon?
Well, I don't believe in demons. I'm using a mythological word, incubus. It's an archetype. It is a real force, but you believe in demons. I don't. You're talking about demons. I'm not.
Is this commercial music? Is this... Is it going to sell, or is it just Satanists who listen to this, or who's going to run out the record store
and
buy it?
Satanists listen to it, and people who respond to a satanic philosophy, whether they call themselves Satanists or not, listen to it. But it is not intended for the millions, certainly not.
You mentioned King Diamond earlier. King Diamond is a member of the Church of Satan, correct? King Diamond is a metal musician.
kind of thrash metal, black metal. How do you feel about the Metallicas and Slayers of the world?
Well, musically, I think they're... I hate rock music. I think rock music's one of the most dangerous influences on young people.
How so?
In a long time.
Well, why is it dangerous?
It promotes self-destruction, which we're adamantly opposed to.
It promotes the use of drugs. It promotes a very conformist attitude, even though rock musicians and...
Under the guise of nonconformity.
Does it bother you, Zena, that they're kind of using your symbols and your faith and ripping it off to get rich?
No, I wouldn't say it bothers me, because they're doing what they have to do.
It's a sign of the times, unfortunately, but it is...
But if it gets a kid into Satanism, hey, isn't that better for you?
It doesn't. It really doesn't. It doesn't. All it does is give them a surface illusion, which really has nothing to do with Satanism. So it is of no value to us that these people utilize satanic imagery. If we had public record
excuse
burnings...
Excuse me, I don't understand why. Because it seems to me...
Because that isn't Satanism, what they're encouraging. Drug use, the whole heavy metal aesthetic.
What's getting them away from Christianity? No, it really isn't.
Because these kids...
And that isn't better either.
No,
I mean,
just getting away
from... You're real ideological purists.
Absolutely. We're an elitist organization.
I mean, we feel that if people are happy being Christians, that they should stay that way. I'm not interested in driving people away from Christianity whatsoever.
If you want to be a Christian, you have every right to be a Christian. We don't want you to become a Satanist. We just want people who are already with us. We're not trying to convert or proselytize. And I think that has not been understood until this point.
You don't want to recruit. You don't want to convert.
There's only a limited amount of people in the world who can truly say they respond to the satanic philosophy or understand it. It isn't for the millions. It isn't for the masses. It is for the rulers and leaders of the earth. It's for people who achieve. That's 1% of humanity can achieve. Now, people are going to move away from Christianity in droves, and they are, but that doesn't mean they're all going to become Satanists.
You describe the Bible as an occult book.
Mm-hmm. Because
you say you're not an occultist. Christians
exactly.
are.
Christians, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, believe in such concepts as birth by a virgin, angels and demons, the existence of eternal life, immortality. At the end of the world, corpses are going to rise out of the grave and become real again, depending on whether you're a tribulationist Christian or whatever denomination you are. The end of the world is a good thing.
As a Satanist, you even know the dispensationalists and the pre-tribulationists and all that?
I wish I didn't know anything about them, but I'm forced to deal with them, so I know every kind of idiocy that is called Christianity. Exactly. It's an occult book. It is all about occultism. Its God is a spiritual creator in the sky. Christianity is occultism. Satanism says that these gods and belief systems that humanity needs and should have are archetypes, mythologies that make human beings behave a certain way. Everything is a fairy tale. Christ is a fairy tale as much as Satan. It depends on what archetype you choose.
Zena, if this new satanic century truly does come into being, if your numbers increase in the Church of Satan, and as you would hope the numbers of Christians would decrease, and then suddenly you are the people of the new social order, describe to me what that social order would be like.
Well, I think it would take on its own momentum. We would have, what we would see is nature taking its course, because that's all we stand for, is to let nature dictate what our actions are, whether it's on a moment-to-moment level or a gut instinct level. And
can you be more specific? I mean, what about some of the laws? Would the laws of the land as they currently are change any?
The laws would probably become stricter, if anything.
Let's look at capital punishment, for instance. In a satanic society, a murderer wouldn't last a minute, because every individual would have the right to defend themselves then and there. Someone broke into your home.
Vigilantism? Go out and get the guy?
It's worked for thousands of years, and it should work again. If someone steals, cut their hand off, as they do in Saudi Arabia. That is a much more sane way of dealing with crime than the Christian way, which is to say, oh, you came from a bad background and we really love you, and here, go to jail and be rehabilitated, and then we'll let you out after you've read the Bible enough. I don't have mercy for criminals. I don't have mercy for people who cause strife, and they should be summarily executed and removed from society.
In talking with the two of you, there's not much lightness or humor.
You're talking to
us. It's all very serious. There's kind of a fortress mentality about this.
If we were dragging you to be thrown to the lions, I don't think you'd see much lightness.
Look, whether you are thrown to the lions, Dina?
Come on, now, have you been thrown to the lions?
Oh, I would say
Satanists all over the country
are throwing you to the lions.
As much as the society that we live in now is, I'd say yes.
So what you're saying is not just necessarily me today, that you have a beleaguered stance.
See, you don't realize, from our point of view, we are under attack.
Everyone should be attacking Satanists.
I didn't say that.
You don't see from our point of view either how we are under attack and we are retaliating. This is our philosophy.
Do you think I want to come here to explain these things to you? We're being attacked every day by the media, by religious fanatics, and by people like you, even though you claim to be rational.
And we're constantly being called upon to
We have a lot of other things to talk about than say why we're not this and why we're not that, but you constantly attack us and slander us.
If you're going to say
the Satanic Bible is responsible for murder, then you're going
to
have
attack,
many more Satanists coming out.
I don't see that as an attack, because I think that I have the right, as a journalist, to cite quotes that I think
cite the Holy Bible, and you say, well, all these things aren't Christian.
I say that they are philosophically inconsistent with what is taught, that they are
Why is there a double standard?
Why? There's Jim Jones, the Spanish Inquisition,
because all kinds of religious and holy wars. Because it's very simple. Because this book says, turn the other cheek and love your neighbor.
It says so many things.
This book also says, hate your neighbor and get even
with that sucker. That book also says, perform a destruction ritual on him. That book says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live.
That was the theocratic state of Israel.
Well, it's in that book. Why didn't you take it out?
I'm not taking it out. That was a civil crime in a theocratic state.
I'm talking about
the rules that govern interpersonal relationships, and those rules
are
love your neighbor, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. This book says, perform a destruction ritual, and if he's annihilated as a result, rejoice.
Right, it does.
Rejoice.
And what about the things in that book? In the Old Testament, it is filled with descriptions of pious religious people sacrificing goats to Jehovah, your God, not my God, but your God. How do you explain that? Why are you still using this primitive book about goat sacrifice,
the proper way
to wear your hat when you're in the desert? This has nothing to do with the modern society we live in.
Why are you using it as a history book? What does it have to do with your culture? The new covenant that Jesus Christ established through the cross. That is the message that we now bear.
You are of European descent, I imagine. Why do you reject the beautiful and pure tradition of pagan heritage which you have, in favor of an alien Eastern creed that came out of a desert that has nothing to do with the world you come from or live in? Why?
Well, the answer is very simple, that there is one God, and that paganism is an attempt of Satan to turn people from the true God.
What was it when your ancestors before Christ were pagans? What was it then?
Were they sinners? God always was.
And why didn't anyone hear about it?
They did hear about it. The invisible things of God are clearly seen from the creation of the world, the first chapter of Romans.
What about all your ancestors who were pagans?
Well,
are they sinners?
Some of my ancestors probably were pagans because they were a product of that culture in its declension away from the worship of the true God. You are
a product of Judeo-Christian culture, which has infiltrated Western society.
I'm also the
and is now on the way.
I'm also, as you, the product of a personal decision as to whom I would yield my life to and what value systems I would choose to live by. I made that personal decision.
And your personal decision, you will admit, is not based on rationality but faith in a book.
No, I will not admit that. It is based upon the height of rationality of God as a demonstrably intricate, loving, personal creator and designer of this universe.
Well, whether you like it or not, in the future, people are going to look at the Bible and put it on the shelf with Mother Goose's fairy tales and all the other wonderful books that human beings have created to give them some meaning, and it will just be looked at as another book. You have your belief system. It's based on a book written 2,000 years ago. As far as
in
I'm
part,
concerned,
in part,
it has no relevance.
And it was not written 2,000 years ago.
Yes. They've revised it. King James revised
it,
took out the parts
But there is the Old
like.
Testament that goes back with historical consistency far beyond
and
that.
And that's the part that advocates animal sacrifices, the Old Testament. Why don't you throw that part out then? Why do you worship a book that advocates animal sacrifices?
Because, she used the word, the scapegoating was a foreshadowing of the ultimate sacrifice, as Christ, our great high priest, came to offer himself as the final sacrifice for sin.
Well, there will come a day when people will look at this tape and hear what you're saying and say these were truly the Dark Ages, when an intelligent person like Bob Larson could advocate such insane ideas.
The idea that God would love us enough to give of himself for us, I don't consider that to be insane. I think it's the most beautiful idea on the face of this planet.
Because Santa Claus is a nice idea too, but I wouldn't set up a church based
on it. But what it does is that it does for me what I could not do for myself.
As a Satanist, you can save yourself. It makes you
as
feel...
As a Christian, I cannot save myself.
Well, I'm telling you, what if I told you, you're free, there is no God, there's no heaven or hell. Bob, you're free to do whatever you want to do, you're a fairly rational person, I trust you. You can dismiss all this nonsense and live your life now. You wouldn't go with that. You'd rather still...
Well, I would have to make both a decision of faith as well as a decision of my intellect to determine whether or not that was truly true.
Have you never doubted that this book, the Bible, may not be an accurate portrayal of the universe?
And I've doubted many times the veracity of what I personally believe. And like all people, I'm on my own pilgrimage to find what has theologically been called that ultimate ground of being, that ultimate truth. But as I continue, I'm continuing a pathway paved by mercy and justice and goodness and love, not one paved by vengeance and hate and retribution,
well,
where the strong survive. Those are the two things that are antithetical.
Then, what you're talking about, love, mercy, forgiveness, peace, that's all theoretical. Not even any Christian is practicing that at this moment. Christians are cheating on their wives. Christians are killing each other.
Yeah.
And the Bible and your church aren't going to change anything about that. Until you look at human nature realistically, you're never going to have a sane perspective on the world.
Finally, your, in a nutshell, your view of Christ and your view of Satan. So there's no misunderstanding to anyone as to what you truly believe about both. I'll let you go first and see no last. Christ and Satan.
Christ is a mythological figure, just as the Easter Bunny, Hercules, Zeus, the Tooth Fairy, and if you want to believe that Christ existed and was a historical personage, that is your right. However, I place no importance on Christ or the teachings of Christ, except that Judeo-Christianity as a whole has, in my view, been a very dangerous cult that has destroyed human potential for 2,000 years, and I oppose the idea of Christianity. I do not accept the religious validity of Christ, but I do believe it is a dangerous social system, and I am glad to see that it's finally decaying.
And Satan?
Satan, just as all the other mythological figures I named, is a figure that the human imagination has created as an archetype. If you've read Carl Jung, you know what an archetype is. An ideal. It's a type, a form, and it has no more valid existence than Christ. However, you can decide a lot about a person, whether they resonate to the archetype of the God of death which is Christ, the God of self-sacrifice and surrender, the God of the meek and the weak, or Satan, who is traditionally the God of the strong, of the powerful, and of the leaders of the world?
Zina, Christ and the devil.
Personally, I don't even give them the time that I think the average Christian does. I don't view Christ as anything more than just what Nicholas said of an archetype. Satan, it's clearly been stated that we use it in a representative and symbolic sense of meaning the adversary or the opposed or the one to question or the rebel, traditionally. And any anthropomorphic form that Satan may hold, you would be more likely to find in something that's right around us, a physical object, maybe a car. Or
no
maybe
God, no devil, just us.
It's that's up what to you. Mm-hmm.
Just us as
that's
animals.
That's what it boils down
that's
to,
it.
Yeah.
We live in a cosmos that is created by nature, comes from nature, and shall return to nature. There's no judge above us or below us.
You may be stunned by what you just saw. It's shocking to hear anyone, even Satanists, calmly discount love, compassion, and moral decency. Don't comfort yourself thinking the ideas of LaVey and Schreck are pretentious. They meant every word they said. Satanism is not the stuff of gothic horror novels. It's an active ideology dedicated to the subversion of values we hold dear. Satanism can and does affect you. Satanic crimes are increasing. We've recently learned that international drug dealers look to black magic for assistance. And far too many teenagers are drawn to devil worship because their lives are devoid of love and meaning. Combating such incredible evil is not the job of politicians, policemen, or theologians. That responsibility belongs to you and me. The Bible tells us, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If you and I will be instruments of God's good wherever we go, the evil agenda of Satanism will be defeated. Be comforted by the words of 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. If your faith is weak, now is a good time to reconsider what you think about God, Satan, and the origin of evil. If I can help you, don't hesitate to write me. You'll find the address on this video. Thank you again for taking time to watch The First Family of Satanism. This is Bob Larson.